in the Big Brother house will not be heard this time, so that we may expect the unexpected on the following.
This is Gordon Pepper, and yes, we will be chatting a lot about Big Brother. And when I say we, it's me and Chico, and I don't remember the last time it's just been you and me.
But
it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been quite a while. I'm thinking back to when we first started over AOL Instant Messenger. For those kids who are listening, Instant Messenger is what we had instead of DMs.
When I was your age, we had something called a modem.
Now get off my lawn, you good-for-nothing.
Well, right now I've got pink modems up there to replace the lawn flamingos that used to be up there.
Well, you don't have pink flamingos, but we do. But we do have actual news. We've got Big Brother, Drag Race, Jeopardy. We're reviewing the newest talent show on Netflix, which I'm going to be completely honest, it works on paper. In practice, not so much. Plus,
and we're going to be going over all that, and we're going to order, because what's better than fruit on a nice summer night evening? Pineapple. I like pineapple.
Pineapple.
It is yummy.
Do you like it with that little? Do you like it with just a hint of sea salt on it?
I actually have done watermelon and done ranch on there. A little bit of ranch on the watermelon, and it is fantastic, sweet and savory.
Nice. Well, you know,
and
what
for else? Those that go ill, try it.
Yeah. Well, you know what else is sweet and savory? This show, because
this show, from somewhere in America, WLTI is. Let's go
on. Well, welcome to the World's Strongest Game Show podcast here on 5N1. We call it We Love Twitter Upped, alongside my brother from a Brooklyn mother, Gordon Pepper. My name is Chico Alexander. Did you miss us? We missed you.
I missed you dearly. Yes, I missed everybody, and everybody missed that. And by the way, no strength and health and strength conditioning coach this week, so therefore I'm going to say it, hydrate. Hydrate the ever-bleeping part of your day. I've had 7 waters and Gatorade and liquids because it is friggin' scorching up here. Welcome to 104-degree weather up here in my little neck of the woods in the Northeast Corridor.
And here...
Where else is it hot? It's hot everywhere.
It's in North Carolina, it's not that cooler.
Sir.
It's not that cooler. It's rainy, but it's not cooler. All the rain is evaporating before it hits the ground. That's how hot it is. So, yes, hydrate, focus, keep your head in the game. And speaking of, let's start. A lot of stuff to talk about, not a lot of time, so let's talk about some actual breaking news here. Okay, so we've been covering this for about a year now, and it's getting to a conclusion before it's getting to a beginning, because SAG-AFTRA, which represents professional actors, they announced last week that it has reached a tentative agreement with the major broadcast networks and other producers on the National Code of Fair Practice for Network Television Broadcasting, heretofore referred to as the Network Television Code. It generates more than $239 million a year, covered member earnings, and includes all non-dramatic programming on broadcast as well as digital media. It covers such programs as morning news, talk shows, serial, soap opera, variety, sports, promotional announcements, and, of note to us, reality and game shows. So what does this mean for you, the game show fan? It means expect a lot more game shows in the future, because we're all covered.
Well, it also means nothing changes, which is good. You won't see game shows on strike, you won't be seeing hosts on strike, you won't be seeing AI taking over hosts, or will you? We'll talk about that later. But the important thing is that what's happened to a lot of things going on strike will not be happening in this game show medium. This was expected to be fairly tame, to go pretty quickly, and that's exactly what happened. And it's really nice on that, because everybody traditionally in Chico, you know this, on a yearly basis, you go to me and go, Gordon, how does all this stuff affect game shows? And I go, it doesn't. Relax. Everything will be fine. So therefore, relax. Everything is fine.
All right, so details of the deal. All minimum rates are increased by 7%, including fees, rehearsal rates, excess workday rates, overtime for all classifications other than background actors and stand-ins. Minimum rates for background actors and stand-ins shall be increased by 11%, and the contribution rate for the SAG-AFTRA health plan is increased by 0.5%, retroactively effective January 1st of this year. And protections in artificial intelligence, similar to what was achieved in the TV, theatrical, and television animation negotiations last year. It was extended through June 30th, which was a couple of weeks ago. But now the networks and producers are committed to beginning negotiations on a full 3-year successor agreement. It will be voted on by the board at an upcoming meeting of said board.
You know, and one of the things that I would like to say is I am glad that in this case, and it's sort of like why some sports contracts are held fairly quickly and others aren't. Everybody realizes in the room, you know what? Game shows have been productive. It has been a cash cow. We joke a lot about not a lot of game shows get canceled, which is true. And it's really been on the forefront of why networks and people are making money in this niche of the world. I mean, they're not going bankrupt over game shows. So it's nice to know that this is being recognized. Everybody realizes that everybody can equally get big money and get a share of the pie. And you really wish that there are other people that can understand this concept.
Yeah, pretty much.
Not calling out sports leagues, even though I can't.
No.
So, yeah, good on everybody. This seems to be a very nice contract that's going to work. Everybody seems to be happy about it. So, good on everybody.
Good on everybody.
Yay, I'm happy.
I'm glad you're happy.
It's nice to start with good news. It's nice to start with something really nice, isn't it?
It is. And other things that are very nice to start with.
Previously on Big Brother.
Yeah, we don't have anything because this is the first episode, but this is the time of the year where we don't recap anything except for what happened on night one, which a lot of things happened on night one. We're going to go over that, but first we have to talk primer. We have to make sure everybody's on the same page. So, a professional bull rider, an event curator, a gamer, a podcaster, a marketing manager, an AI consultant, an aura painter, an attorney, and a dungeon master. Sounds like a weekend at Jason Block's house, but it is not.
A weekend at Jason Block's house if you threw Lena the Magnificent in there, by the way, his cousin. And a whole bunch of tainted hors d'oeuvres, carefully tested and chaperoned by Gaspar Noir. If you don't know who he is, look him up.
If you know,
he's really
you
cool.
Know.
Exactly. Anyway.
So let's talk about who we have in the Big Brother house this year. We have Adrian Roca, a 23-year-old carpenter from San Antonio. Amy Bingham, a 43-year-old insurance agent from Stockton, California. Ashley Hollis, a 25-year-old attorney from Chicago. Ava Pearl, a 24-year-old aura painter from Long Island. Clifton Will Williams, a 50-year-old college sports podcaster, Swagger Jacker, from Wallace, South Carolina. Isaiah Zay Frederick, a 23-year-old salesperson from Paducah, Kentucky. Jimmy Hegarty, a 25-year-old AI consultant from Sarasota, Florida. Catherine Woodman, a 23-year-old fine dining surfer from Gwinnett County, Georgia. Just say Atlanta. I mean, come on. God. Keanu Soto, a 33-year-old dungeon master from Miami. Kelly Jorgensen, a 29-year-old web designer from Burbank, South Dakota. Lauren Dominguez, a 22-year-old bridal consultant from Lafayette, Louisiana. So Chief High Buckley Buck Carl Chenier is going to be on the watch for her.
Yeah, I was going to say, we know who Carl Chenier is rooting for.
Mickey Lee, a 35-year-old event curator from Jacksonville, Florida. Morgan Pope, a 33-year-old professional gamer from Palm Springs, California. Riley Jeffries, a 27-year-old professional bull rider from Luther, Oklahoma. Vince Panaro, a 34-year-old unemployed person from West Hills, California. And Zach Cornell, a 27-year-old marketing manager from Cartersville, Georgia. But that's not all! There is also
dun, dun, dun.
A mystery player because,
ooh.
Because the theme of this year's Big Brother is the Hotel Mystère. And the mystery begins with a blackout.
That's some time.
And a missing host. Where's Julie? Has anybody seen Julie?
I was thinking if it's a blackout, maybe she's replaced by Bob Goen.
We love Bob Goen.
If you know, you know. We do love Bob Goen. Blackout was a great show, by the way.
It was a great show. So she teases about secrets hiding behind the walls, draws their attention to the head of household relic on the shelf, which kind of sort of looks like the silver monkey from Legends of the Hidden Temple. A countdown clock hits zero, the lights go out, the lights come back on, Julie's gone. All that's left is her shoe. Enter a red character called the Mastermind, who...
Dun, dun, dun.
Who says they've kidnapped Julie. The telephone rings, Julie tells the players to divide into two search parties. The first eight people will search for Julie, and the others will locate the relic. Zach is the first. Okay, the search party for Julie. Adrian, Amy, Ava, Lauren, Mickey, Riley, Vincent, Zach. Zach is the first.
Well, you said what? Wait, Chico.
Uh-huh.
You said that one of them would be searching for the relic, and the other one would be searching for Julie Chen.
It's like eight will be searching for Julie. The other eight are searching for the relic.
But isn't that the same thing?
Good night, everybody.
We love you, Julie.
Okay.
But I was still hanging for it. I'd go after it. Anyway.
Adrian, Amy, Ava, Lauren, Mickey, Riley, Vincent, Zach are all looking for Julie. They have to solve a large bridge puzzle in order to encounter eight doors, each one with a different hint from Julie about what she was wearing when they met minutes earlier. Riley and Mickey decide they want to throw the challenge because they don't want to be seen as a challenge threat this early in the game. Zach, on the other hand, wants to find Julie. So he finds Julie. He wins something. We will get to that. But let's talk about the other eight people. The Mastermind has hidden the head of household object among several others that look exactly like it. Anytime one of the other eight players grabs a wrong relic, they'll drop through a trap door and lose. They will be losers. They will be eliminated. They can locate clues around the set in order to ascertain which one is the real head of household based on the colors of the gems and the shapes of the keys. Morgan, for Riley and Mickey's reasons, is starting the challenge. Keanu is the first to drop, then Kelly, then Zay, then Will, then Morgan, then Catherine. Jimmy wins the HOH relic. So, what do they win? Zach wins. Zach wants to be head of household. He wins $10,000. Which,
you know,
it's not head of household, but it's a great consolation prize.
Cash money.
Jimmy gets to name which four house guests will be playing in the season's first HOH competition, which will take place later. Jimmy says he wants to trade with Zach since he has the potential of angering a lot of people. Yeah, no, you can't do that. Anyway, Jimmy names himself, obviously. And then he names Adrian, Ashley, and Vince. So here is the competition. Four players will balance six cores on the Big Brother Blaster for 10 seconds. That will destroy the Mastermind's lair and temporarily end his evil rule.
Temporarily. Until the next day.
Yeah. Vince gets hit. Now, once you get your six cores balanced, they have to balance for a 10 count. Vince gets his cores balanced just enough that it lasts the 10 count. Vince is your first HOH of the summer. Now,
yay!
Of course, as HOH, he nominates who to put up for eviction next week. The AI Arena, since it worked so well last week, we're doing it again this
week. And which it should, because that was a lot of fun. That definitely threw a lot of game plan out the window, and it was really exciting to see, because you didn't know exactly what was going to happen.
By the way, I said week, I meant year. Sorry about that.
Yes.
Okay, the AI Arena worked.
We understood.
Yeah, the AI Arena worked so well last time, it is now a permanent part of the game called the BB Blockbuster. So three people will be playing the Blockbuster for safety. But here comes the Mastermind, because there is more mystery,
dun, dun, dun.
There is more chaos, and he's adding a 17th house guest. It is a person that we've talked about on many shows before. It is a person that is no stranger to the game. It's a person who follows us on social media.
It's Billy Chen.
No.
Now that would have been funny if Billy Chen was now a player.
Can you imagine? Nope. The 17th house guest is... our friend, Rachel Riley!
You mean the one that's already won Big Brother?
Yes.
Okay,
so, yeah.
Yay?
But, you think it's over. It's not over, because Rachel is actually not the 17th house guest. She's the 16th house guest? What? One of the people in the game is actually the Mastermind's accomplice and not an actual player. If the other...
It's the Big Brother mole.
Hey, it's the traitors. Big Brother flavor.
Big Brother traitor mole.
If the other contestants correctly guess who the accomplice is, they will immediately go home. But if no one pegs them as the accomplice, they will officially join the game. We'll talk more about that next time.
You know, they've done things like that in other episodes and series of Big Brother. It's been with mixed results, and there was one that absolutely flopped at the beginning. So, there was so much, let's put it this way, there are so many other things you could have done with that whole mystery theme, and the one of you is not one of us, and among us, and all that stuff, and you went that way?
Well, I see where it's, you want to talk about low-hanging fruit. This is low-hanging fruit. This is basically, okay, we have a 17th house guest. No, we actually have a 16th house guest, because one of us is a mole. Somebody is very...
You know what, though? You could have brought certain... I mean, no offense to Rachel Riley, and she's great. She's fun and all that other stuff. But the better play here, and maybe you couldn't get them, but the better play would be bringing three or four of those people as people that were forced to be America's player and or the mole and that, and see their games wrecked, and really throw a red herring in there to show that none of those players that are there is actually... a pawn of Big Brother, and it's absolutely somebody else. That could have been fun.
Could have been. But you know what? We'll see how this works. I mean, it's only one night. Anything can happen. That is the joy of Big Brother, especially Big Brother the last few years. Anything can happen, and usually does.
Well, and Big Brother has had a string of pretty decent seasons going on. So hopefully they don't wreck it with this, because the hotel, the mystery, you can think of so many really cool things that they could be doing. Secret rooms, secret this, secret challenges, secret all sorts of stuff, if you're going to throw mystery in there. We'll see what happens.
Yes, we will. But in the meantime,
I like it so far.
Yeah, I like it so far, too. It's really solid so far. But again, one show does not a season make. Unless you're Scott Riccardi, in which case it made all the difference. Let's talk about it.
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is Jeopardy!
Okay, so we have a player who is going for six tonight on Jeopardy after winning the last five. Scott Riccardi, an engineer from Somerville, New Jersey. That's a weird way, isn't it, Gordon?
I don't know.
Yep. Tonight, he plays against Austin Hobbs, a library specialist from San Angelo, Texas. I've driven past that before. And Jolinda Chenichek, a teacher from Tallahassee, Florida. I've also driven through that before. They're both on I-10, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, so going into the final. It's a pretty close game between Scott and Jolinda, because Scott missed two crucial daily doubles in the Double Jeopardy round. So he has 6,400.
What?
Yeah. So he has 6,400. Jolinda has 7,800. Austin could spoil with 2,200. And the book says...
He actually quit this time.
Yeah, and the book says that Austin can't cover a marginal wager by Scott. So, wager everything but a few bucks, and then get the final right. Nobody gets this right.
Easier said than done.
Yeah, nobody gets the final Jeopardy right. And when you hear it, you're going to wonder, you're going to think, God, this is hard, but at the same time, I should have won this. The final Jeopardy category is chart toppers. Here's your clue. His mother named him after her dream car, but he topped the charts in 2019 under this moniker.
Obviously, I'll let you give the right answer, but I was thinking, who was Ford Fairlane or Andrew Dice Clay?
That would actually be, you know what? That's actually a really good name for a band. You don't mind? I'm going to steal that
name. It would
be. I'm going to steal that name.
There you go.
There you go. But yeah, his legal government Christian name is Montero Lamar Hall, better known to you and me as Little Nas X. Nobody took that.
That is a heavenly name.
Yep. Nobody took that horse to the Old Town Road, because we had a triple stumper. Scott held back. Jolinda did not. Austin kind of, sort of, he did what he had to do, but he missed the final. So Scott, with $4,999, wins today. Six-day champion with a total of $149,901. He faces two more challengers tomorrow. But the more important bit of news, he is in the tournament.
Yippee!
So,
well deserved, by the way, as a six-time final Jeopardy player. I'm a six-time regular Jeopardy player.
Indeed. I'm looking at his previous five games. He has had some really high totals. Even last Monday's game, which, by the way, features a cameo from James Gunn, the director of Superman, in theaters this Friday.
That sounds like synergy, Chico.
Yes, it does. But he notched up a total of 50,400. Isn't that wild? That's wild.
One episode? Wow, baby. Wow.
Yeah, 50,400 on an episode, and now he has triple that as he goes for number lucky 7 on Friday.
Yeah, and you know what? Good for him. We're going to be rooting for him, but what drag queens are you rooting for? On RuPaul's Drag Race All-Star.
Oh, you know who I'm rooting for. I'm rooting for Ginger Minj. All right, you want to talk about synergy? I've got two episodes worth of synergy. First of all, Cynthia Lee Fontaine gives her point to Diet Betty. Diet Betty gives hers to Cynthia Lee Fontaine. Acid Betty gives hers to Cynthia Lee Fontaine. Alyssa Hunter gives hers to Cynthia Lee Fontaine. And going into this episode, that puts Cynthia Lee Fontaine at a total of, I want to say, 5. Yeah.
Well, the extra points that she got was good enough for her to get into the top 3 as of this moment.
Yes. But
in that district.
But we still have a game to play, so we're going to go ahead and play that game. It's the main challenge. We're improvising a dating show in which contestants play dogs courting a golden retriever played by Zane Phillips. That's right. Welcome to the Golden Bitchler.
By the way, for those who go, what the heck? This has not been the first time we've seen the regular version of the Bitchler on RuPaul's Drag Race. So now it's just a little bit more golden.
Yeah, and I believe they did the whole dog thing there too, so the joke kind of works. So Acid,
yes, it does.
So Acid Betty is a dominatrix-inspired Doberman. Cynthia Lee Fontaine is a Chihuahua. Alyssa Hunter is a promiscuous mutt. Ginger Minj plays a drunk St. Bernard. You know what? That's actually brilliant. Diet Betty is a poodle, and Denali is a needy emotional support spaniel. On the runway, your category.
Oh, the improv. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Now, this is improv, so you should absolutely know that it's gonna play into the Comedy Queen's corner. Who would that be? Oh, look, Ginger Minj.
Oh, yeah. Not only does she play it, she absolutely slays it. Yeah, anybody could be a St. Bernard. Takes skills to be a drunk St. Bernard. Anyway, the runway category: paper dolls. Your top two queens of the week: Diet Betty, Ginger Minj, and the lip sync of the week: "Mama Used to Say" by Junior. By the way, your guest judge: Mayan Lopez. Mayan Lopez, of course, nepo baby to George Lopez.
Yes.
And after the lip sync, which Diet Betty won, giving another point and $10,000. Cynthia Lee Fontaine gives her point to Alyssa Hunter. Denali gives her point to Acid Betty. Alyssa Hunter gives her point to Denali. And Acid Betty gives her point to Cynthia Lee Fontaine. Everybody gets a point. And in your top three, Diet Betty, Ginger Minj, and Cynthia Lee Fontaine.
I mean, I get the whole point thing. Eventually, the queens are going to figure out how to use it in a strategic way instead of everybody voting for everybody else and pretty much nullifying the whole point of that to begin with. You know, from a strategic standpoint, to give it to Cynthia Lee Fontaine, okay, I guess. Yeah. But I'll give you my own opinions in terms of how I see the show going. In terms of a couple of things. But anyway, Chico, next episode.
Next episode, it's time to snatch the stars, y'all. Because all 9 advancing queens are back, but there is a twist. There will be a returning queen at the finale. Who it is, we don't know. But we'll get to that when we get to it. But let's talk about the Tournament of All-Stars Snatch Game. The next 2 weeks, there will be one winner per main challenge, and the bottom two will lip sync for their lives with one queen being eliminated. This week's main challenge is the Tournament of All-Star Snatch Game with Aja as Samantha Cookie Tookie James, Bosco as Kenny Kerr, Cynthia Lee Fontaine as Count Dracula, Diabetti as Jane Lynch, Ginger Midge as Reba McEntire, Reba! Irene the Alien as Zsa Zsa Gabor, darling, Horkus as Pitbull, Mr. Worldwide, Selenia B. Collins as Pete Burns, and Mistress Isabel Brooks as Natalie Nunn. By the way, your guest judge today, Sarah Michelle Gellar. Buffy the Vampire Slayer herself.
That would have been fun for somebody to try to do Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
That would have been fun, but, you know, missed opportunities are not new in this game. I have to give props here.
No, it is not.
Yeah, I have to give props here to Cynthia Lee Fontaine, Diabetti, Ginger Midge, Irene the Alien, for playing to their strengths and playing also to familiarity. I mean, Reba McEntire, just one of the reigning queens of country, and also, if you've ever seen Happy's Place, a really, really solid performer there, too.
Alright, so, what happened, Chico?
Alright, so your runway category, tiramisu. Your tops this week are Ginger Midge and Horkus. The winner, Ginger Midge. She wins $1,000. And your bottoms are Aja, Cynthia Lee Fontaine, Lydia B. Collins, and Mistress Isabel Brooks. With Aja and Lydia B. Collins safe, which means Cynthia Lee Fontaine and Mistress Isabel Brooks have to lip sync for their life the song Who's Zoomin' Who, the acapella mix by Aretha Franklin. And as for Cynthia Lee Fontaine, grand opening, grand closing. She is the first semifinalist eliminated.
Well, the irony is, at least one of the regular seasons that she was on, the episode that she got knocked out of was Snatch Game.
Yep. If you're going to be on Snatch Game, you got to perform. You got to play to strength and you got to play to familiarity. That's what the likes of Ginger Midge did. Irene the Alien, Horkus. You got to play to the strength. You can't just play something because you know how to play. You got to play to strength. You got to play to familiarity.
Well, yes, I understand that. But the foreign language queens, this is traditionally what trips them up. More often than not, someone where English is not their primary language, this is where they lead the show. And that has happened many times in almost to all the Puerto Rican queens. That don't have that grasp.
There you go.
And if you look through it, the history of it, this is where they die. Well, yes. Theoretically not real, but theoretically.
This is where their trade gets off, let's just say. So there's
Yeah, absolutely. So it's almost sort of like it's almost sort of like if it was close between a queen that doesn't know the language or maybe the culture of the celebrities and someone that should know better, maybe you should give that queen a break. Maybe?
Maybe? Possibly?
Just saying.
Yeah.
Maybe, possibly?
Yeah, there you go.
You know, I guess we'll figure that out at another time and another show. And by the way, I'm going to pull out the Jason Block cynical hat here for 1 second. Because, you know, one of the things we talk about is that Global All-Stars was almost certainly a vehicle for Alyssa Edwards to win. And she deserved a win, don't get me wrong, but it almost felt like fan service in one way, shape, or form as someone that's contributed so much to the community was going to get the win. You sort of feeling that same thing with Ginger Minj?
Kind of sort of feeling that way, too. I mean, it just seems like everything's just being teed up too easily. Where's the challenge? The creativity's definitely there. Don't get me wrong. Every season of Drag Race is showcasing creativity. But it seems like Ginger Minj is getting it a lot easier.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say this. Yeah, she's been killing it, you know, on that. And does she deserve it? Yeah. On that, I think she deserves it. Just like
cue the editing and cue some of the other reasons on why it just feels at this standpoint. It's Ginger Minj's to lose. I felt the same way with All Star 7. I felt that with Jinx Monsoon. Thank you, Brain. And Global with Alyssa Edwards. So maybe,
possibly,
we'll see.
We'll see, indeed. But
possibly,
yeah.
I mean, this is talent. And speaking of which, let's do 30 seconds of America's Got Talent. Yay!
Your golden buzzer recipient in this week of America's Got Talent is the Birmingham Youth Choir, to which Simon Cowell said, "I could see and hear how much work went into this. Every single one of you played the perfect part. I'm so honored that you would come here on our 20th anniversary, and in return, I want to give you something." So, yeah.
And he gave him a golden buzzer. Yay!
Yay! I believe we have one more episode of auditions, and then come the brutal judges' cuts. But that's down the line. Right now, we're...
Hey, you know, the funny thing is this. I may have seen $1 Million Act this time around.
Oh,
and
really?
And anybody that hit a golden buzzer. So we'll chat another 30 seconds on America's Got Talent. Which is... You know, on American Idol, when we covered it religiously, we joked around with your winner is HGWG, which stands for, Chico?
Hot Guy with Guitar.
That would be correct, sir. We don't have that, but we do have a CKWG.
A CKWG?
Which is Cool Kid with Guitar.
A Cool Kid with a Guitar. Who's the Cool Kid with a Guitar?
Cool Kid with the Guitar is the little 10-year-old who did Lenny Kravitz, Are You Gonna Go My Way? And whose name I can't pronounce. And I will not even try to.
I got it right here. It's Bay Melnick Virgolino.
Which is why I let Chico do the pronunciation, because there's no chance I was getting that correct.
No.
No. Okay. He reminded me of the CGWG version of Bianca Ryan, who won season 1.
Ah, I remember.
If he's got any repertoire or... Yes, if he's got any repertoire or chops, any... With this, and maybe because of the fact that everyone else at AGT so far is so underwhelming, I think he has a legitimate chance to win the whole thing. He checks off every single button.
He could be the future of guitar rock.
He could be the future of a lot of things. And I think what's hysterical, by the way, is the parents bouncing along with him. That was hysterical.
I like that. I like
and you
that.
Know what I'm talking about, right?
I do.
Yes.
So, two acts to watch coming from this week of America's Got Talent. Again, AGT continues next week into more auditions. But right now, speaking of bands looking for singers and singers looking for bands, it's time for a bit of a review. Hey, do you like The Voice, Gordon?
I actually do like The Voice.
Do you like Love is Blind, Gordon?
I absolutely do not like Love is Blind, no.
Well, what if we took elements of The Voice and elements of Love is Blind and put them in a blender, set it to frappe, and blitz the hell out of it?
I think that would be a new torture experiment for the latest movie of Saw.
Oh, boy. Did you know that Saw 6 was banned in some places? Anyway, so...
Would not surprise me. It was a terrible movie. I would have banned it also.
Okay, so we have Building the Band. 50 artists, 6 groups, through a selection process, will have to get at least 5 other singers to like them. And once we've actually created bands, they will go against each other until one is left to win $500,000. Your judges on this show are Kelly Rowland, Nicole Scherzinger, and the late, great Liam Payne, with AJ McLean hosting. We've already seen four episodes. Now we're going to go over them.
All right. There's actually good in this. The good is I love the concept.
Concept's a great concept.
I absolutely love the concept. It is a fantastic concept. Where and it really goes, and disclaimer here, I have a musical background. My dad used to own a nightclub. I used to be working at the nightclub. And by the way, this thing called scholarship off of music and performance is something that I have had and still do. So I'm very in tuned into not just the music industry, but that aspect of the music industry. So to be quite honest, I loved the concept. I think it's great. And I think with the technology that we have, this is something that theoretically could be fantastic and fun and something really neat, because you see these collaborations online all the time. And this is a really fun concept, Chico.
Yeah, it is a really fun concept, and like my brother Gordon here, I too have a musical background. I've spent the last 30
He does.
I've spent the last 30 of my years performing in various choruses and a cappella groups, everything from the UNC Men's Glee Club to the Collective Virtual Choir to the UNC Accordants to the Meyer Elementary School 5th Grade Choir, which was where I got my start. Thanks, Chili. Anyway.
He's Studley.
Yeah, he is. My brother is indeed Studley. Anyway, so groups have to be grouped in 3 of 5, and they have to get at least 5 people to like them singing. If they get less than 5, they're gone. And once they have a group put together, that's it. They're in the show. And once we have all of the groups put together, then they go into the performance and knockouts until one group remains to get 500,000. It's a pretty solid premise, pretty creatively done. It's one of, like I said, it's one of those shows that works on paper, but in presentation, in practice, and you could probably chalk this up to editing, kind of moves all over the place, I think.
Yeah, this is where we get the bad in terms of the execution part of it. It doesn't move the way that it should.
It's not a natural
on that.
Flow.
It's not a natural flow. It focuses on things it probably shouldn't focus on, or something that we sort of think is going to happen later on, which we don't know whether or not it does. There's a lot of moving pieces. I'm not sure that part is executed correctly. I am also I love the judges. I don't love the judging.
I agree.
If that makes any sense.
I totally agree with you there. It's like, okay, I love the judges. The judges are obviously experts in their field, particularly Nicole, who is a contestant on Pop Stars before her big break, and Liam, who is a contestant.
Well, and this is not the first time that either of them have been judges before.
That's right. Nicole, Masked Singer, Kelly Rowland,
yep.
Star Search, and Liam Payne,
yep.
The Voice. I believe he's guest judged the X Factor after he made it big there.
Yeah, I remember Liam Payne more for X Factor than The Voice, but yes, you're absolutely right.
So yeah, we've got a whole lot of pedigree here, but does anybody really do anything with it?
I think it's too early to tell whether or not people do anything with it. But again, I'm not sure that they're even needed at this stage of the competition yet. So again, the focus and my thought should really be more of the culling of the group and the talent and that. I think the drama and the interplay there should be highlighted more than the judging. And right now it's not. Maybe that will change.
Maybe.
But for me, it was great concept, and I don't know why they went in the direction that they went into. And unfortunately, we grade more on potential. We don't grade on potential. We grade more of what we see. And what I see is a show that's got fantastic potential and dreary execution. And for me, it's a C plus.
C plus.
And I want it to be higher, and I can't justify it.
C plus is the correct grade. I mean, we have a whole lot of moving parts. I just need them to tell us where they're moving them to. That's what I wanted to say. I need them to.
No, I will say this. This has got such a great potential to be really, really good that I'm really hoping that either A, it moves in a different direction that we're not thinking about, that we haven't realized yet, or B, if it doesn't, on the seasons to come, they streamline this and make it more interpersonal than Music Challenge, if you understand what I mean on that.
I do. I absolutely do.
Because I don't think they have the balance correct on this.
All right. Okay, and from there we go into our last season in review this year, and that is going to be the Best of the Rest. And, you know, I almost want to think of this as more of an afterthought because we covered the Best of the Rest in a great deal on our 2025 biggest stories so far. We talked about the GSN moving toward the virtual sets, Survivor getting ready to celebrate its 50th season, the cancellation of Person, Place, or Thing and Pictionary kind of at the same time. It was kind of a disappointment, but it's man much wiser than I once said, for every great game show that ever began, one had to end. And it seems like we're doing the half and half sort of situation where, yes, we're saying goodbye to Pictionary and Person, Place, or Thing, but we're also saying hello to Scrambled Up and The Perfect Line, which will arrive in syndication this fall.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I guess the best way for me to say it is your mileage may vary in terms of the shows and whether you like them or don't like them. Obviously, our attitude is from a combination of the people that we know that are on the shows, definitely some coming and some leaving. What we like to see, and I'm going to be using a John Carpenter reference here, in terms of Prince of Darkness, is that sometimes that I feel that we are the people that are guarding the sanctity of game shows, and regardless of whether or not people like that or don't like that, we want to see everything succeed. We don't want to see things fail. We never want to see things perish off the face of the earth. We'll joke about it, we'll make fun of it, but it's just sort of like, you know, bowling alley tournaments and bowling alley stuff. You want as much bowling alley tournament stuff, regardless of who's running them, as much as you possibly humanly can, because you need to keep the bowling alleys open.
You do.
So in terms of something like this, you know, you want game shows. You want to keep that genre going. And right now, genre's very healthy, which is great.
Yeah.
And looking forward to seeing more shows, more intriguing different shows. I mean, if you want to, and I'm going to use my words here real carefully, if you want to say anything about the shows, these shows are based on tried and true tropes that have been very successful. Person, Place, or Thing, definitely. You know, back in the day, growing up, that was 20 questions. So, you know, that's there. So if you want to say, hey, there's new original stuff coming in, you can make an argument on that. That all being said, it's a pity that a show has to go off the air, period, exclamation mark, end of story. You and I would both take the line of, well, if we can make game shows every single day and screw every other genre, we would be really happy with that.
We would be. And the thing of it is, and again, we are not gatekeepers. We are not gatekeepers. We see a show on the air, we want it to succeed. We want it to succeed on its merits. And if it doesn't succeed, we want to know why, so that we can learn from it and do better next time.
Very true, sir.
So that's pretty much where we are this season. We've been doing this season's been like one of the rules this season was let's try it and see if it works. And for the most part, a lot of stuff that was tried for the first time worked. And now we can build off of that for the next season.
So far, so good. And again, we'll see what happens here. But the fact of the matter is, the genre right now is incredibly healthy. You could make an argument that it's setting itself up nicely for the next wave of television entertainment. And you may not be wrong there. You know, Chico and I were discussing before we started doing this show, Portal is there. That's almost a resurgence of a trivia style in the form of Trivia HQ that worked out well. There has been a Web3 global Bitcoin version of something Trivia HQ-ish that's happened during the past few months. Yeah. So it's almost like it's becoming cyclical again. What's old is new.
Even at Scott
Robinson. That is correct.
That's Robin Hood trivia you're talking about.
That is indeed.
So that is basically...
So it's neat. It's neat. It's interesting to see.
So that's basically where we are right now. The future's looking bright. Can't wait to see where we go from here.
You gotta wear shades?
Ha ha ha. I do. And speaking of shades, we're just going to have it made in the shade with a little piña colada because pineapple is on deck this week in our game time. Right after all the news you didn't even know you needed to know, including we talk a lot about the French. Almost an insane amount of French content this week. With Gordon Pepper, I'm Chico Alexander. Well, the bathroom's right over there, buddy. Stick and stay with 5-1, your home, where we love to interrupt. You give us 22 minutes.
And we'll give you 22 different people that we hope we can make disappear in the Big Brother house.
Singbot? The Mastermind?
I like Singbot. Singbot can stay. Yeah, Mastermind can go.
Janky? Oh!
Rapping Dragon.
Yo! What if Janky is the Mastermind? That would be so epic!
You know what I was thinking who could be the Mastermind? In human form?
Who's that?
Because he's not doing anything. Will Kirby.
Will.
Will
Kirby. He doesn't need to cover himself up to be the Mastermind. Will Kirby's the real deal, my friend.
Exactly. That's why he should be the real Mastermind.
We'll be right back.
I mean, if you really want to do it, let's bring in Survivor people that have yet to be on Big Brother. Boston Rob.
I think Boston Rob's gotten.
We'll be back.
I think Boston Rob's gotten that himself out of the game, but I don't know.
I don't know.
One in four of us will be affected by mental illness at some point in our lives. Yet nearly two-thirds of us will never seek help, especially men. We pride ourselves on courage and our ability to never show weakness. But mental health touches us all. We are athletes, actors, and musicians. We are friends, husbands, and fathers. It's one of us. It's one of you. It's time for men to talk about mental health. Help starts with the conversation. End the stigma. To learn more about our stories, visit bringchangethemind.org. We'll be right back.
Great Vision is presented by Bowling on the Edge. It's like the short-lived lawn bowling game show on British television that's actually on the BBC Game Shows channel on Prime, but with the addition of actual pins. And it's like each pin you knock down is more money, but don't go off the edge or you lose everything. I'm surprised we don't have a show like that on television. And if we do, patent pending, patent pending, patent pending. That's Bowling on the Edge.
You know, Chica, when I hear about that, I think of Chris Jericho and Downfall. And maybe like taking bowling balls and throwing them off the edge.
That would be actually pretty fun.
That would be pretty fun. But we do have a lot to cover, not a lot of time to cover it. So, therefore, I have the five words that you want to hear. And no, it's not, why does North Carolina stink?
Boo.
Roll that beautiful brain footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Tuck Morris, as always. Follow Tuck Morris on all social media, Tuck Morris Games at Rock 104 Rock Tracks and at Tracks Productions, and you can listen to Tuck Morris as he hosts Rock Tracks with Doug Morris from high atop his palatial estate in the Pine Belt every Sunday on Rock 104. That's Rock 104 WXR Hattiesburg 104.5 on your FM dial and all over the node.
Multiverse.
On Rock104FM.com and the Odyssey and Rock 104 apps. Okay, so I have two bowling balls. I mean, yeah, you know what? We're all about the diversification of sporting goods here.
I would like to point out that the Underground Bowling Association's postseason starts this weekend.
Yeah, I'll save that for the plugs, my friend. Anyway, so we have two. One has the number 456 on it, and the other is made of Lego.
Ooh.
Alright, we're going to start with the Lego here, because Fox, because they do so love their Lego Masters, has greenlit Lego Masters Junior, which is a 4-episode miniseries for August 18th, pairing up a duo of junior Lego enthusiasts with a celebrity partner. The partners are Ravi V. Patel, Andy Richter, Jordan Sparks, Allison Sweeney, and Portia Williams. Will and Crosby are neighbors and best friends from Minneapolis. They're playing with Andy Richter. Stella and Shelley, best friends from Oklahoma City and Dallas, are paired up with Jordan Sparks. Max and Zoe, siblings from Greenville, South Carolina, they're being paired up with Portia Williams. AJ and Zach, brothers from Pittsburgh, are being paired up with Allison Sweeney. And Vincent and Hudson, friends, are being paired up with Ravi V. Patel. By the way,
This is something cute that's a nice spinoff from the show, and I do completely expect a full version of this show showing up next summer.
By the way,
it's not earlier.
By the way, your Brickmasters are Amy Corbett and Boone Langston from season one of Lego Masters, and your host, Kelly Osborne.
Ooh, interesting.
I think it's a solid choice.
Adding a little bit of British flavor to it.
I think it's a solid choice.
That's not a bad choice at all.
Yeah. Also, we have a renewal to talk about with our 4-5-6 ball, and that is Squid Game The Challenge, renewed for season 3 ahead of season 2 dropping November 4th.
Not a surprise there.
Yeah, hopefully.
At all. And once Beast Games shows up also, because you know that's going to. Not a surprise.
Yeah, hopefully they will clean up the production so it's a lot tighter, a lot cleaner, and they take care of their players. Because half of production is taking care of your players. But
again, that would be nice. But we'll see if that actually happens.
But again, first season, it did okay. Let's see what the second season does. Speaking of the future, Jason left me a present in the form of this datebook here.
So, oh, goody.
Yeah, so Friday, as part of Fox Nation's new deal with professional bull riding, we have the season premiere of Last Cowboy Standing. We also have the season premiere of The Great American Recipe on PBS. By the way, please support your local PBS.
Yes, the more the better on that one, please.
Yes. Sunday is the season finale of Naked and Afraid, Last One Standing on Discovery, and the season finale of Love Island USA on Peacock. More on that later. And the series premiere of Love Island Beyond the Villa on Peacock, which is more of a documentary than it is a game show. Tuesday, we have the MLB All-Star Game. And as counter-programming to that, ABC is offering two episodes of Bachelor in Paradise.
Yay.
Yay. Thursday, Food Network is moving Beat Bobby Flay to the 8:30 slot so it can premiere its new series, Family Recipe Showdown, which we will review on the next show.
Ooh. Sounds zany.
Should be tasty.
Oh, of course. Always tasty.
But right now, let's talk about Dadapto. Wheel of Fortune is going back on the road. We have more details on the 2025 tour of Wheel of Fortune Live. That is the stage show version. You know, it started earlier this month with a residency in Las Vegas featuring our friend Mark L. Wahlberg. Now, we're about to take it on the road. And joining Mark L. Wahlberg on the road is the other host of the game plane, Jay Flats. So, again...
Interesting. I'm not sure if I approve of this, but interesting.
But, yeah.
Obviously, Mark L. Wahlberg, I really approve of. Mark L. is fantastic. He's good people. He's fun. But we're bringing somebody from the game plane? Really?
Well, he's been in Hairspray Live. He was in Hell's Kitchen. And that's pretty much all the credits I could find as of this recording. So, well, you know what?
If they bring him, hopefully there's a good reason, and that could be a smart move.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. You want to talk about smart moves? New this year.
Yes.
Brand new this year. Wheel of Fortune Live attendees will have the opportunity to get a head start in the audition process. Applications will be available to submit on-site that will put applicants directly into the producer's audition queue. And if successful, they will appear alongside Ryan Seacrest and Vanna White on the TV show.
See, that I think is fun. I think that's very, very, very smart.
Yes. More information, of course, at wheeloffortunelive.com.
Of course.
But if we want to talk about...
That is ridiculously smart.
Yeah, if you want to talk about ridiculously dumb, I've got two words for you. Greg Wallace.
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
That's dumb.
You're so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
So, Greg Wallace used to host MasterChef on the BBC, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then he had some allegations put on him, and they asked him to step down from MasterChef. Now they're just firing him from the whole corporation.
Whoops.
Yeah, it comes as 50 more people...
Allegedly, by the way. Alleged allegations.
Yes. It comes as 50 more people have approached the BBC with fresh alleged claims about about the host, including allegations, these are allegations, that he groped one MasterChef worker and pulled his trousers down in front of another.
Whoa.
In a lengthy statement on Instagram, Greg Wallace claimed he'd been cleared by that report of the most serious and sensational allegations. He says, "I recognize that some of my humor and language at times was inappropriate. For that, I apologize without reservation, but I would never the caricature now being sold for clicks." He accused BBC News of uncorroborated tittle-tattle. By the way, BBC, to its credit, says they have not seen the Banaché report. So there you go.
Well, you know, on a cook show, maybe one of the challenges will be create different types of haterade.
Haterade!
You know what's worse than having baggage going into the Golden Bachelor?
Well, besides not being able to get on the real game show, no, Chico, I don't. What's worse?
Having baggage.
Because Baggage was a great game show.
Yeah, it was a game. I miss Baggage. I really do.
I do too. Anyway,
having your baggage aired out by your ex-wife. Okay, so Mel Owens, his ex-wife, was 20 years younger than him. She has issued a statement about Mel and how his season is going to be, and now I'm quoting, bad.
Okay, so...
Fabiana Owens, Mel's ex-wife, good luck. I mean, it's going to be bad. But anyway, I don't want to be involved in this.
Of course not, which is why you opened your mouth to begin with and decided to put out the fire with your brand of ethyl gasoline.
Yeah, by the way, she filed for divorce in February 2020, citing irreconcilable differences. They have two children together. She was the recipient of almost $1 million in a divorce settlement. It was just this big thing.
Googly googly.
Yeah. So suffice it to say, get ready for some sauce.
Yeah, barbecue sauce, because she's about to light the whole thing on fire.
And I am here for it.
Yes, you are, and you're the only one out of three of us that were up for it, and that you're here for it. And I think everybody needs to take a vacation. Where are we sending everybody to?
Okay, so we're sending him on a European tour to France and the Netherlands, but mostly France.
Been around the world and I can't find my baby. I don't know when, I don't know why he's gone away.
All right, so we have one cancellation, one reboot, and in the Netherlands, where we start, Initial and Zeppotron are going to attempt to adapt the world's oldest game, Ball. The Dutch format Let's Play Ball, which broke out on YouTube with more than 1 million views and will soon launch on SBS6, will see two rival teams of comedians go head-to-head in a race to transport a gigantic ball across various terrains. Facing physical puzzles along the way, each episode will see the teams navigate varied landscapes from narrow city streets to rivers and countryside meadows. Global format distribution rights are held by Banaché.
So, yeah, that sounds like a scintillating premise, not.
Yeah. From there, we go to France, where we talk about a reboot of The Weakest Link. The local version called Le Maillon Fab will air on M6 next season, which follows the success of two specials that aired last year. And it will be hosted by Olivier Minet. So look for that later this year. And
yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of that show, but I know that you and Jay are. So that could be fun.
Yeah. And now we got to talk about...
Reigns!
The long-running Questions for a Champion, or Questions pour un Champion, is being demoted to weekends after playing weekdays for the last 20 years.
Wow. That is very sad, actually.
Yeah, not only sad, but kind of sort of anger-inducing, because everybody's wondering, you know, why are you doing all of this? And also, you know, there's been an outcry following word that the show is being relegated. 20 MPs have sounded the alarm, according to the Times of London, telling the boss of France Télévisions that they were appalled at a decision that is likely to kill the contest known originally in Britain as Going for Gold.
Ouch.
And the thing of it is...
French phrase, sacré bleu.
And the thing of it is, it was not doing badly in the ratings. It was doing rather well. But the thing of it is,
what?
It costs more. It costs too much to produce for a state-sponsored broadcaster to produce, allegedly.
You know, when things go global, they go global.
They do.
You know, in terms of anything, I mean, we're looking at society the way that we're looking at it right now, and nothing is cheap. Except Media Pros.
Except Media Pros.
Because they're a dime a dozen.
Uh-huh.
I got pros. In different area codes.
Area
codes. Pro in different area codes.
And this week's Media Pro Report, Becca Tilly makes it official with Haley Kiyoko. Congratulations to them. Sierra Ortega, after being booted off of Love Island, has gone through denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and now not acceptance, not an apology, but an accountability video.
Well, it is the five signs of media apology, right?
Yes, it is. And can I just say something here? If I had a
soapbox right over there.
If I had a nickel for every time a Love Island 7 contestant was booted because of a really unsavory social media post, I'd have two nickels. Which isn't a lot, but it's awfully weird that it's happened twice this year.
Well, how much does French nickels go for? Maybe it gets up to like 22 cents.
Maybe. Continue.
If you had a million nickels, if you had... Anyway, I'm sorry.
Haven't you always wanted a monkey? Anyway, Selena Estetis reveals the one time RuPaul went off on her on a podcast. Julie Chen Moonves compares her time on Big Brother to a game of chicken with Jeff Probst and Phil Keegan. Jinx Monsoon and Ben Delacreme schedule their 2025 tour very carefully. Dan Patrick can add Who Wants to Be a Millionaire to the list of shows he almost hosted. Sarah Hartshorn from America's Next Top Model is dishing the tea in a new tell-all. Claudia Winkleman will star in the BBC Traitors Proms. Yes, they're doing a traitors show at the proms. It's pretty awesome.
Well, see, I mean, it'd be much more awesome if Adela came in and blasted everything, but... Maybe a Cyberman can come in and assimilate all the traitors. That could cut.
Yep. John O'Hurley still can't get over losing the first season of Dancing with the Stars. Chris Harrison admits to texting during the rose ceremony during his divorce. Mel B got married, guys.
Yay!
Kelly Clarkson postpones her Vegas residency to prevent serious injury to her voice. David Brindley is promoted at 2-4. Ashley Iaconetti and Jared Hibon board a pilot called Too Romantic. Travis Kelce calls Catching Kelce the worst thing he ever did. And we've got a couple of hosts named for the two shows this fall. Neil Patrick Harris will host Inside the Box. No. Neil Patrick Harris will host What's in the Box for Netflix. And Michael Yeo will host Scrambled Up for syndication. And
all but I'm guessing none of those are the pros of the week.
Yep, we've got three pros of the week. First off, two new additions to the Dancing with the Stars cast this fall. One of the hot new reality shows of the year is The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, which. You know, if you were to ask me before this show, I would say MLMs, Looking Pretty, and BMWs. But apparently, they're also swingers, allegedly.
Allegedly.
That's what I got from Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. See, I actually do my research before I record this. But two of the...
Might see the chagrin of everybody else.
So, two of the Mormon wives with the Secret Lives, Whitney Levitt and Jen Affleck, will be Dancing with the Stars for season 34. By the way, did I mention that the Secret Lives of Mormon Wives airs on Hulu, which, like, Dancing with the Stars is a Disney joint?
Gee, Chico, that never would have crossed my mind.
I know, right? But your real media pro of the week is a guy who has been champion for 21 months. That's longer than Ken Jennings. That's longer than Tom McKee. It's the longest game show streak in television history, I believe. A man who is known only as Emilien made his first appearance on the Danse Coup de Midi, or 12 Strikes of Noon, on September 25th, 2023. His run ended on Sunday. In his run, Emilien has won more than 2.5 million euros, which is 2.93 million. In cash and prizes, including 23 cars. 23 of them.
That's a lot of cars.
Yes. Emilien has become the world record holder for the most solo game show appearances and the European record holder for prizes won. A record for highest number of consecutive wins was previously held by some guy who hosts Jeopardy now with 74. So suffice it to say, Emilien has earned the number one place in the quiz world's hearts. And good for him.
And those are your pros.
And that is Brain Vision. I'm going to shut her down right here. And I'm going to get a nice, refreshing pineapple. Because we...
pineapple.
Because we are about to play some pineapple on the other side of this break here on We Love to Interrupt. We'll be right back.
WLTI has been brought to you by, from the producers of Man vs. Bear, it's Bachelors vs. Mosasaurus. That's right, the dinosaur from Jurassic, gross. Now, don't look at that. Oh, no. I guess Mosasaurus was a little bit too hungry. Mosasaurus is no longer hungry.
Moment of silence. Moment gone. Next!
Oh, that is a...
I don't know. Maybe the Mosasaurus is going to want to have some pineapple to down the drink of what they just ate.
We don't have a pineapple that big.
We don't, but we can play a game called Pineapple.
Yes, we do have a game of Pineapple. And for those who are new to the program, the rules are simple. We have three options, and we get to keep two, toss one. For example,
yes.
Anne Robinson, George Gray, Jane Lynch. Keep two Weakest Links host and toss the third.
That's a hard one. I like it when we're starting this hard. I'm going to go based on what they've been doing. George Gray, obviously, Price is Right. Anne Robinson been doing her own thing. Jane Lynch, not as high a profile as the other two, so bye, Jane.
That is a very hard choice, because Jane Lynch is a very good host of Weakest Link. Seems like it's tailor-made for her. Anne Robinson, obviously the OG. George Gray, he brought his own flavor. My God, this is difficult. I have to pick one, don't I?
You do.
I almost want to say George Gray, because he hasn't been doing it as long as the other two have, but this is not an indictment on his skills as a host. He is a damn fine host. He is a damn fine announcer, The Price is Right. And for my money, a damn fine human being. So, there you go.
All right. So, I'm going to do a little bit of a crossover here for my first one.
Okay.
The Butler on Whodunit. The Butler on Traitors. The Butler on The Bachelor. Two of these three we could definitely use as fodder on Big Brother, especially with all the mysteries going on. Which one does not get to go into the Big Brother house?
I want to pick the Butler on The Bachelor, because he's probably going to be the first one to get... You know what I'm saying?
You want to feed him to the Mosasaurus?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. I like Giles. Giles is cool. The Butler and The Bachelor's gotta go.
Indeed. Okay.
Next
one. Beast Games, Squid Game The Challenge, or That Time Mr. Beast Did Squid Games on YouTube. Which is actually the two most solid productions?
I actually think the Beast Games version, Beast version of Squid Games was the most solid one. The other two have been plagued with all sorts of issues. Believe it or not, I'm going to say Beast Games.
I'm going to actually agree with you on that. I think when Mr. Beast did Squid Game on his YouTube channel, it was really good. It was really solid. When Beast Games premiered on Amazon, it was really good. It was really solid. Squid Game, there's a reason I said what I said when we talked about it in Brain Vision, is that you have to take care, you have to tighten up your production, you have to take care of your players. It may be a lot, but if you have a good enough production, you can take care of all of them. So yeah, Beast Games and Mr. Beast doing Squid Game. Those are my two.
There you go.
Next up.
Next. Let's be a little what-if-y here. The Daytime Emmys, the Primetime Emmys, the Cleos. Which one of these has, shall we say, run its course? If you look at it, especially from the game show Grammy perspective.
Well, the Daytime Emmys...
I'm sorry, the Game Show Emmy perspective. Yes.
Yeah, the Daytime Emmys was the home of the Game Show Awards for the longest time, and you're not going to deny any of that. Primetime Emmys are the thing of the Game Show... the home of the Game Show Awards now, so you're not going to deny any of that. It's got to be the Cleos, because what do the Cleos have to do with game shows?
Yeah, well, there's a number of hosts, game show hosts, that have been on the Cleos.
True.
So you have that. I'm actually going to go Primetime. Because A, it's lost its luster, and B, more importantly, you're now combining both the daytime and nighttime version of these games and game shows into one award. That is on daytime, and it's not on Primetime anymore.
I get that. I get that a lot.
I don't think. So therefore, by Primetime.
Okay.
I'm making you think today, Chico.
Hey, we're making each other think today.
That is true.
All right.
Hey, Chico, next one.
Next one. Blind Date has been ordered at Disney Plus, which is, of course, a reboot of what we here in America call The Dating Game. So, in that spirit, Jim Lang, Elaine Joyce, or Chuck Woolery? Three of the best hosts of the Dating Game franchise. Who are the two best of the best?
You know, you want to say Jim Lang and Chuck Woolery because of the longevity, but I'm going to go with Chuck Woolery and Elaine Joyce.
You know what?
And if anything, I may want to swap out Elaine Joyce for Mark DiCarlo.
Yeah, but Mark DiCarlo never hosted The Dating Game. He hosted Studs, which is actually also a very good show.
I would say better show than Dating Game. Of course, if I really wanted to be technical, I can say Ken Ober, Perfect Match.
Ooh, I love that. I love that a lot.
If you know, you know.
Yeah. Gosh. Yeah. I want to say Elaine Joyce is really good. And Jim Lang was just a bit of a showman. Too showman for this hokey enterprise. But he brought his own. So yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you there on Elaine Joyce and Chuck Woolery. Because Chuck Woolery was a bit of a whizaker, if you think about it. You know what a whizaker is?
Chuck Woolery did a great job of extracting everything from the contestants. And I actually think he had more on his plate than Jim Lang, who was helped by a lot of the questions in the writing on Dating Game. Nothing against Jim Lang, he was very good at what he did. But he didn't have to carry like Chuck Woolery and Elise Joyce did.
Agreed. All right, one more time, Gordon.
One more time.
One more time
Click.
For the one time.
Wheel of Fortune, American Idol. One more time. Click. Wheel of Fortune, American Idol. All three of these, I'm doing a reverse of what you did, Chico. All three of these were hosted by Ryan Seacrest. Get rid of one of them.
Oh, gosh. This is hard. Because here's the thing. Click, was where we first saw Ryan Seacrest's brilliance. A very mature, but at the same time, immature host. Then we saw American Idol when he really came into his own. And Ryan Seacrest on Wheel of Fortune has been nothing short of spectacular. But at the same time, Wheel of Fortune is one of those shows that can run off of autopilot. And I've seen that Ryan Seacrest has more or less been playing it safe there. I really hope he breaks out in season two. So I'm going to go with Click and American Idol.
I'm actually going to go with Click and Wheel of Fortune. And before everybody says blasphemy, again, Ryan Seacrest helped out immensely by the writing. Whereas on both Click and Wheel, he's had to do a lot more improv on there than he's had to do on American Idol. Go back and watch and study those tapes. You'll understand what I'm talking about. I'm getting rid of American Idol.
All right, then. And that is Pineapple, which we haven't played in a long time. And I honestly have to wonder why, because it's such a good game. And the way we did it this week really made each other think. You know what? This was actually a good... I think this has been a really good show so far, just the two of us.
So far, it's been a really good show.
Yeah.
However, like all really good things, they have to come to an end, and they will after this break.
WLTI has been presented by everybody's favorite bowling game show, Who Wants to Be a UBA Hall of Famer?
Why, thank you, Chico. Yes, I got inducted into the Hall of Fame. Ceremony will be in August, and it's cool, and I'd like to thank everybody.
Yeah, congratulations.
And the best way that I can thank Chico... Thank you. And the best way that I can thank Chico is to start the speed round now. RuPaul's Drag Race. Who's next to go away?
Oh, gosh. I want to say Jorge is maybe teetering on the edge there, because I don't think that last round did any favors, but we'll see. I know Mistress Isabel Brooks also teetering on the edge there, but we'll see where she goes to. What do you think?
I agree with that. I could also add Diabetti in there. But yeah, anyone but Ginger Minj at this point.
Anyone but Ginger Minj indeed. Okay, so Rachel is the mystery house guest on Big Brother. How long do you give her?
I don't give her that long. I think people are going to accuse her of being the mole. And I don't know. It's one of those weird things that it's like, why do we have to do this? If we're going to go for somebody, I would have picked out somebody different.
I heard Derek Chow was available.
That would have been a good choice.
There's a lot
of good choices you could have had, Big Brother. And Rachel Riley is not a bad choice. I just, again, hope that they use her for something else besides eye candy.
All right.
But they probably won't. Jeopardy! Are we celebrating double-digit wins for Scott?
Oh, gosh. This is going to be a hard one. I think he's got one or two more in him, and that's it. If he goes double digits, good for him. But I think he's got one or two more in him.
I'll go with two more, and I don't think he gets to double digits. Sorry.
Okay, and I guess that just leaves with a mail and social media. Do we have any?
I don't think we have any mail.
But if you want to send us some, let's talk addresses. WLTA GameshowNewsNet.com. All social media at GameshowNewsNet. I am at Dino R. Alexander.
I am at GSNN Haterade.
And if Jason was here, he'd tell you that he's at Jason Block with the number 2. Or Beat the Block with the number 2. And of course...
Yes and yes.
And of course, the network is at 5and1net. That is the number 5, A-N-D-O-N-E-N-E-T, where we talk about everything going on network-wide. Still eyeing for later this month as we talk about OTAs, all the big news coming out of the NFL on the BS Big Show. Looking later this month, hopefully when we can get together and do all of that stuff. But in the meantime, Gordon is still manning the UBAToday.info, where he has all of the news on the Underground Bowling Association.
Yeah, we're doing a sneak preview of every single bracket, and that starts this weekend.
And that's on the panel, if I'm not mistaken.
It is, it is.
Okay, and then we have the NAWC. I know they're talking about pay-per-views, the return of WWE Saturday Night Main Event, which is this weekend. They'll be talking about that over on the NAWC. And on It Was a Thing on TV.com, we have the new episodes of Squared Circle Time Machine with Georgia Championship Wrestling and The Adventures of Super Pup. Because, like we said before, there's a new Superman movie coming out. I heard it was a really good Superman movie.
So, I don't have an issue with Superman movies. They could be fun.
They could be fun. So all of that is at itwasathingontv.com, where you'll find the Squared Circle Time Machine, and of course, It Was a Thing on TV. So next week, we are talking more Big Brother. We are talking... more Jeopardy. We are going over the first real meaningful week of summertime game shows, including A Salute to Service on Press Your Luck, Celebrity Family Feud, and a review of Family Recipe Showdown. Should be a very tasty event. Hopefully we have Jason Block back. Jason, we love you. We miss you. Come back soon.
But, yes, sir.
But until then, my friend, for Gordon Pepper and everybody at 5and1, my name is Chico Alexander. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. Game over, and spread the love.